Welcome to Zion's Saturday Call to Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen." During the Saturday morning devotional series, we will be taking several moments to look at worship through the eye of the Bible. The Swedes of Silver Hill, Alabama, 105 years ago, would begin their worship with the liturgy proclaiming God's holiness. "Heiliga, heiliga, heiliga," they would say. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his holiness." Here we are, a century later. We live in a culture that has forgotten God and has little appreciation for holiness and the sacred in general. But we understand that God calls his people to worship, to do holy things, to share holy words, to fellowship with holy meals. So as we continue these summer weeks, today's worship question has to do with holiness. The question, why holiness in worship? Let's look at 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 19, which says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I, the Lord, am holy.' And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." We don't gird loins anymore, but the concept is a good one. In Peter's time, they wore a kind of robe with a belt. If you have a robe on, it's kind of hard to hurry. So if you had to run, so to speak, if you were in a hurry, you would pull your robe up and tuck it into your belt. Your legs would be free to let you move fast. Look at what Peter is saying here. Get your mind ready for action. Be realistic. Recognize what Christ is doing in your life. Peter uses the word hope, but he's writing this letter in Greek. Hope in Greek has the idea that what is hoped for is a sure thing. It has already been accomplished and we're just waiting for it to show up. That's why Peter can write, "Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Well, Peter continues, "Be obedient, children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance." We all have old ways that we recognize today were wrong. We say, we just didn't know any better, but we mean that we were ignorant. Peter tells us, forget those old ignorant ways and doing what you did in your past when you were locked into that way of thinking. No, it is time to get on with the knowledge we now have. God, who called you and me, is holy. Since God is holy, we also are called to holiness in all our conduct. God himself has called his people to holiness. Peter quotes Leviticus 11:44, where God is speaking. God says, "For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy." Our Heavenly Father calls his people to holy living, holy lives, holy worship. How does one live holy? It has to do with depending on God. It has to do with prayer and supplication and all those kinds of things we talk about in the Christian life. Being holy means being called apart. The word for the church in the Greek of the New Testament is literally that, being called out from the crowd. Holy living means living for God, not ourselves. He is to be the first in all things. Peter is explaining, "And if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear." Our stay here is this life that God has allowed us to have. God is in the business of determining whether you and I are using what he has given us to honor the call he has given each of us. That is, recognize the graciousness of our Heavenly Father and respect him for who he is and for what he expects of us. Well, how is such respect possible? God is not knowable like you and I know one another. Peter is a great help here. He says, "Know this, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold. You were not bought back from sin with things that wear out, nor were you saved from your aimless ways promoted by your own fathers." God the Father, when he sent the Savior Jesus Christ, knew exactly what would not work in terms of saving us from sin. Peter explains how salvation really comes, not by use of things and not by doing things from our heritage. No, salvation comes through Jesus, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, the Bible tells us that we have sinned against God. The wages of sin is death. Somebody had to pay the price of sin, the price of death. A sacrifice covers sin. The Bible explains that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his blood. Jesus gained the forgiveness of sins for us. But you say, don't we still sin? Well, yes, but Jesus rose from the dead. He's alive. His sacrifice is now a living sacrifice, a sacrifice that continues to cover the sins of sinful man for all time. And here's Peter telling us, "The Father sent the Son to do precisely this. Therefore, think about your salvation in holy terms. God has called each of us out from the world to live in holiness to honor God. And this calling is completely possible because the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes on the sins of the whole world, has made us holy by his atoning blood. It is that holiness that you and I are to bear in worship on the Sabbath, to honor our Savior God. No wonder a liturgy can say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his holiness." Well, let's listen in on Zion congregation members talking about some of the elements of worship at Zion Lutheran Church.
I feel that honoring God through worship is something that's it's very important to God, obviously, because there's numerous references in the Bible to worship. And I think that we need to be here to worship Him because, again, it's important to Him, but we're the ones that are going to be the ones that benefits from it most, and just have a relationship with Him on a daily basis to know that no matter what comes our way in life, that the Lord will always be there to see us through from this worship that we have with Him.
Now, you have to honor God, I know, and that to me keeps me closer to Him, and in return He helps me.
I think honor and worship is kind of, there's an old song, is you can't have one without the other. A horse and a buggy go. But anyway, I don't think you can worship God without honoring Him, and I don't think you can honor Him and not worship Him. And it's God's way of giving you peace that can get through the turmoils of the day.
Well, to honor God, in my opinion, is when we honor Him, then it affects us during our worship. It's just putting our, I guess, our heart and soul into our worship, and by doing that, it affects us that way. If we don't have honor and worship, then that reflects right back that we're not honoring God.
You just honor God. That's just the way you've brought up and the way you believe. And to be in a place that is dedicated to God.
I think that's where you get into the reverent attitude that we're here to worship Him, and we don't want the world to intrude. This is a private moment between our congregation and God, and to show Him how much we revere His name and what He has done for us. And we just don't want the world to intrude. We want it to be a sacrament to Him.
Well, I think by honoring God, we do worship. And so if you believe in everything that the Lord has done for us and all that He has provided for us, then you go back to Scripture and you honor Him with your presence. You honor Him with your tithes and your offering and your gifts, and you honor Him in seeing a need in your congregation or in your community or in your work, and trying to implement what God would have you do.
You really can't worship without honor. I think you really have to have honor to worship, and I think it's very important. You hear people say, well, I don't see any sense in going to church every Sunday. Well, do they honor Christ? Do they worship Christ? Why is it that they feel that way? You can't understand that, but if we truly love Christ, we want to honor Him with our presence.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship tomorrow at 10 a.m. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill. just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. Goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again next Saturday at about 7:30 in the morning. Or how about tomorrow at 10 a.m.? We'll save a pew for you.